And that's right. If you're listening to the golf or watching the golf, you'll be listening to Ian Baker Finch. And he's going to be our legend of the game after 8 o'clock. It's the Big Sports Breakfast, weekend edition.
Andrew Collins. Authorities in Oakland, California admit the death toll will rise as the search for bodies continues after a fire at a warehouse rave party. 9 people are confirmed dead, but officials say the toll may go as high as 40. Some people managed to escape the blaze, but it's thought up to 100 people were at the rave being held in a building that did not have sprinklers. The cause of the fire isn't yet known. Police have charged a Melbourne man with murder over a stabbing attack on a French tourist in the Northern Territory. A 33-year-old victim was stabbed in the neck on Wednesday in front of his wife north of Alice Springs. Meantime, an Italian backpacker has told how her last-minute gut instinct stopped her from hitching a ride with a man just hours before the stabbing. Backpacker Marilena Grico has told Sky she asked the man, who's now in custody, for a lift back to Alice Springs from Uluru because she had to work the next day.
He said to us that he could, but when the sun would go down. So at that point, my intuition said to me that was getting really weird, and we decided to not take the ride.
Canberra's feeling the heat to keep Australia's AAA credit rating and will need to convince the international ratings agency Standard & Poor's. Treasurer Scott Morrison will detail the 11th-hour deal to secure the 15% backpacker tax rate, as well as the passage of industrial relations legislation, as proof the Australian Parliament can pass necessary legislation. He plans to report the government has made $21 billion in savings since the election, emphasising they were helped through by agreements made with all parties and most crossbench senators. Parents are being urged to reconsider allowing their children to travel to Bali for schoolie celebrations. There are fears teenagers are being targeted by drug dealers on the holiday island in the wake of the arrest of Perth teenager Jamie Murphy. David Eastman will face a fresh murder trial over the 1989 killing of Assistant Federal Police Commissioner Colin Winchester. Mr. Eastman was released from jail in 2014 after spending 19 years behind bars. He launched an appeal over a permanent stay on his murder charge. That appeal's been rejected and a new trial will begin in July next year. A Perth man has appeared in court accused of having a homemade explosives device. The 25-year-old man was driving in his car when stopped by police on Friday in suburban Kingsley. The device was allegedly found on the back seat. The bomb squad cordoned off the area and removed the device. A Victorian man's been refused bail after appearing in court, charged with lighting a fire in a campsite in the Blue Mountains during a total fire ban. The campfire got out of hand and turned into a scrub fire, but crews did manage to bring it under control. And Australia's import ban on the controversial Adler shotgun could be lifted next year with a national agreement on a new D licence limiting the firearm to professional shooters. Australian Independent Radio News. The Wallabies are licking their wounds after another loss to England in their overnight clash at Twickenham. England secured its fourth successive victory over the Aussies, winning 37-21. It's the Wallabies' ninth loss in a row. Outspoken Victorian cricketer Glenn Maxwell has been slapped with a fine for criticising Matthew Wade. Australian skipper Steve Smith has confirmed the fine, but the amount is being kept a tight secret.
The leadership group got together and we decided to fine Glenn. We thought that was a sufficient punishment. So, yeah, we've gone down that path. But, yeah, I was disappointed with the comments that he made.
Melbourne City fought back from a goal down to claim a 1-1 draw with Brisbane Roar in last night's A-League clash. In the EPL, Chelsea has enjoyed a 3-1 win over Manchester City. Adam Scott is still in the hunt, 4 shots off the pace, heading into the final day of the weather-interrupted PGA Championship on the Gold Coast. The Australian men's rugby sevens team's been knocked out by Wales after their 21-12 loss in the quarterfinals of the season-opening tournament in Dubai. And Shane van Gisbergen's become the first New Zealander in 25 years to win the Australian Touring Car Championship. Red Bull teammate Jamie Wincup won race one of the season-ending Sydney 500, but a podium finish was enough to seal the title. Australian Independent Radio News.
You're sitting in the traffic, motionless. Disappear to another world and relax with a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Moscato, a sweet alternative by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Coles are cutting the price of Aussie lamb cutlets down again to $28 a kilo. And Aussie lamb four-quarter chops down again to $10 a kilo. Only at Coles. In Badgerys Creek, Badgerys Creek Road is closed both ways between the Northern Road and Elizabeth Drive after an overnight accident. In the city, road closures on Argyle Street in the Rocks ahead of the Santa Fun Run this morning. And in Collaroy, a burst water main on Pittwater Road at Brissenden Avenue has a southbound lane closed. In Des Moines, busy on Henley Marine Drive around the bay to Dobroyd Parade. And in Janelle, traffic's crawling down Railway Crescent from Nowra Crescent to Toronto Parade. Did you know that more than 3 million drivers were breath tested in Sydney last year? Remember, police mobile RBT units have drink driving in their sights. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Nothing better than summertime greyhound racing. This Thursday night at Albion Park, some of the best chasers clash in the Brisbane Cup final. Join Mark Duclos trackside for interviews, tips and all the action here on Sky Sports Radio.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the TJ Smith Stakes. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And Chautauqua, wow!
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab, we love a bet.
Replays not available on Victorian thoroughbred races. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy, a 20% chance of a light shower in the outer west during the afternoon and again late at night. Light winds becoming east to northeasterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the middle of the day and then becoming light in the late evening. There is a maximum of 28 degrees today for Sydney Down, partly cloudy. Warrenora. Raymond, tell us what's happening at Warrenora. And then let's go to...
Is that Warrialda? Is that part of your part of the world, Jim?
Down in the Shire, in the Shire, yeah.
Heading for a top temperature there of 28 degrees. Funny about that, Jim. Partly cloudy. Warrialda, way up north near the border, Jim. Currently, it's already 26 degrees. Partly cloudy Sunday up there. Heading for a top of 38 degrees in Warrialda.
The Amarok Highline Runout Sale is on now. This top-of-the-line workhorse can be yours from only $53,990 drive away, including free 8-speed auto, plus $2,000 cash back. But you'll need to hurry, because with premium features like Bi-Xenon headlights, a rear-view camera, satellite navigation and permanent four-wheel drive, you just know they won't be in the showroom for long. Offer ends December 31st. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
This is John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John's Friends for Christmas. 12 Christmas classics by two of Australia's true music legends. Including It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, Silent Night and White Christmas.
We just want to wish everyone a very happy Christmas.
Healthy, happy and a joyous New Year.
Celebrate the joy of Christmas with John Farnham and Olivia Newton-John's Friends for Christmas. Out now.
And then came Flying Artie, the capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second. The capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Really excited about the last hour of programming coming up here, right up until 9 o'clock, Ray, because we've got... You know, we've had some great guests on the Legend of the Game during the course of this year, but Ian Baker-Finch has got such a fascinating story to tell. And he'll tell it well, because he's a great communicator, as we've heard across his television work on the Seven Network,
which he is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, he's commentating today, the final round of the PGA, the big triple crown of Australian golf, and it's brilliantly poised. Adam Scott sort of got going yesterday, but couldn't quite.
He's only four off the lead, though.
No.
Andrew Dott at 14 under, leading from Harold Varner, the third. The American, he's at 12 under alongside Ashley Hall, who's had a couple of great weeks. He was terrific in the Australian Open.
Yes,
Ashley
he
Hall
was.
Made the playoff there. John Sendon is equal fourth with Adam Scott at 10 under. So some big names in contention for that coverage, which starts at midday.
Yes.
On 7 of the Australian PGA.
And you can see it on the Plus 7 app as well. So we've got that. We've got John Grant, still chairman of the Australian Rugby League at this point. Speculation that he doesn't have the numbers. Speculation that they won't return to the negotiating table if they don't get them. And
which means he must walk, surely.
Well, you would think so. And I mentioned earlier that digital transformation of the National Rugby League, and they thought it was going to cost $70 million. Now the quote is $150 million. So that's where the money has gone. Shane Van Gisbergen is the 2016 Supercars champ. Congratulations to him on that way. Glenn Maxwell, did he say the wrong thing? We'll let you be the judge. I think he's exactly right in what he's saying. Probably shouldn't have said it publicly, but got it absolutely spot on in my
mind. He was honest. He answered the question honestly.
Maybe too honest, and you understand why he wants to go to New South Wales if they're batting Matthew Wade ahead of him down there in Victoria. 13-53-53 is the open line number, and we're looking for body parts on the back of Josh Mansell having someone's tendon, someone who's deceased, their tendon into his knee after that
helping with his recovery.
ACL, yeah.
He was tipping a return late May, Jim.
He did.
Yeah, so.
He did. So you start thinking, returning from those injuries, getting back and playing and then actually being fully fit, two separate things. But he would then be available, you would think, around origin time. Someone mentioned Brad Pitt's good looks. Yes, that'd be handy, wouldn't it, Brad Pitt's? But unfortunately, you nor I have them, Raymond.
Correct.
13-53-53. And that's why we work in radio. 13-53-53 is the open line number.
Good heads for radio.
Exactly.
And great voices for silent movies.
That's not bad.
That's good for me.
Let's go to a caller on the line there. Adrian is there. Hello, Adrian.
We did have Adrian.
No, we did.
We have got Trent, though.
Now we've got him. No, what are we doing here? We're going to Adrian on the open line. Yes. Hello, Adrian.
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you going?
Really well, mate.
Just to run for you the topic of the day. Before that, just on the rugby, you look at Australia's performance, it's sort of like, it was probably...
Did you watch it, Adrian?
Yeah, I did. And, yeah. I mean, England just blitzed them in the second half.
Right. Four tries to two, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, I mean, one was an intercept pass, two, and so forth, but England were under strength, but... It's hard to gauge what you think about the Wallabies over there. It sort of like started out brilliant, but see, they played Wales, who were under strength, and beat them pretty easily.
Yes. Yep.
Probably
lucky against Scotland.
Lucky to beat Scotland.
Yep.
Lucky to beat France.
Correct.
Got hammered last night. So I don't know what you'd say about it overall. I mean, Eddie Jones is just...
Well, three test wins, a narrow loss to Ireland, and England are probably, alongside the All Blacks, are clearly the two best teams in the world
now. They haven't played them yet.
Which is extraordinary. Wouldn't that be an amazing clash?
It'd be a great game.
So I think it's been a pretty successful tour, really, Adrian, all in all.
Well, hard to say, because, I mean, could have easily been beaten by Scotland and France, and then end up only just one win beating a weakened Wales side. I don't know.
You know, it's with the Wallabies, you get the feeling two steps forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
It's almost in a holding pattern.
Mm.
Yeah, that's about. I think you've probably nailed it there, Jimmy. Just on the body part, not actually a body part, but probably fierce competitiveness. Heart, Ray Price. Look,
best
back rower I've ever seen.
And
the reason being, and also the fact that he was a mate. He scored a huge amount of tries as well.
He did.
And the thing that always sticks in my mind is when Gary Pearce, I think he was a Wallaby, played for Ranwick, said that the All Blacks would invite Ray Price to wear an All Black Guernsey. Yeah. That's not the greatest sort of recommendation or commendation you could ever get. I mean, he was best back role I've ever seen.
Well, didn't we have Peter Stirling on? Didn't Peter Stirling say the same thing?
Yeah.
Ray Price's
competitor.
And even Kevin Sheedy from a rival code.
Yes.
Remember, we spoke to Kevin Sheedy as a legend, and he said Ray Price's attitude, will to win, determination for an elite sportsman, unparalleled.
I nearly fell off my chair then.
You and Adrian agreed.
Well, Adrian agreed wholeheartedly with something I said, and then he came on and said a very reasonable thing about Ray Price. So, Adrian, I don't know whether to give you
good
a commendation
call.
Ban you.
You should praise him for a good call.
No, absolutely. Well done. Congratulations. And let me say, not just because you agree with me, that does help, though. Sending me out of CD.
It's the only way to get
according
to you.
CD? No, that'd be good because then we find out where he lives. We can go and egg his house or something like that. 1353 53 is the open line number. That's right. We'll get Jason Taumalolo involved in that as well. They don't have that in the NFL, Jason. You can't go egging people down in Tennessee.
Do a Jason Taumalolo.
1353 53 the open line number. Now, before we get to Ian Baker Finch, let's have a chat with Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au, who's got all the prices for today's sport, including that final round of the Australian PGA Championship. Hello, Trent.
Good morning, dear Jimmy and Ray.
Morning, Trent.
How are you fellas going?
Yeah. We're going okay.
We're going really well.
What about the Australian PGA,
mate? We're going nearly as well as the interview started.
I said earlier, Andrew Dott leading by 2 shots, but I still think Adam Scott, 4 shots off the pace, is the man to beat.
Well, Andrew Dott is at 14 under there. Ray is the $3 favourite. You have Harold Varner III at 12 under and Adam Scott at 10 under. They're both at $4. Ash Hall, who was so close in the Australian Open a fortnight ago, at 12 under, $6. And John Sendon at 10 under is the other realistic chance. He's at $10. So Andrew Dott, the $3 favourite, Harold Varner III and Adam Scott at $4, Ash Hall at $6, and then John Sendon at $10. But to bet on the Australian PGA Championship, you can be in your local tab, or you do have to call 133-390.
David Warner will get man of the match today, $8. Put it in the bank.
Fair enough, Jimmy. Well, Australia are $1.40 and New Zealand $3 for the first of the three ODIs. Day nighter at the SCG starting at 2:20 for Australia's high bet, where Aaron Finch is a $4 favourite to score the most runs, along with David Warner. You have Steve Smith at $4.50, Glenn Maxwell at $6, and then George Bailey at $6.50 for New Zealand's high bet. Kane Williamson, he's been spoken about a bit this morning. He's the $3.75 favourite. Martin Goptill at $4.50, Tom Latham at $5, Colin Munro at $5.50, and Henry Nicholls at $6. On the man of the match, well, Steve Smith and David Warner, they're $8 equal favourites. Aaron Finch at $9, and then Martin Goptill, Mitchell Stark, and Kane Williamson at $10. So just as in between the test series, we have this one-day series here for the Chapel Hadley Trophy.
Yeah, Mitchell Stark with a white ball, Jim, one day, no better bowl in the world.
Yes.
So two A-League games today. Trent, I'm really keen on the Sydney FC boys getting back in the goal-scoring list and the winners list against Newcastle.
That's the 5 o'clock match there, Ray, at McDonald Jones Home Stadium there in the Hunter. So Newcastle $4.50. The draw is $3.75. And Sydney FC at $1.70 and over 2.5 goals, $1.67 favourite option there in that bet type. And then 7 o'clock at Cooper Stadium, Adelaide United are $1.70 against Wellington at $4.50. The draw there is $3.75 and the over 2.5 goals is the favourite there at $1.67 as well. A couple of matches overnight in round 14 of the EPL, and Jimmy will just be waiting for 12:30 there at Vitality Stadium, where Bournemouth are up against Liverpool. Bournemouth $5, the draw $3.75, and Liverpool $1.67. And then 3 o'clock at Goodison Park, Everton against Manchester United, where Everton are $3.50, the draw $3.40, and Manchester United at $2.05. There's the one game in the NBL today at 3 o'clock, Melbourne United $1.48 against the New Zealand Breakers at $2.65. But tomorrow night, Illawarra are up against Sydney with the Hawks $2.10 and the Kings $1.75. So there's plenty of sporting action, of course, all the racing codes as well. Once again, the bet on the Australian PGA Championship, you do have to call 133-390. But for everything else, you can head to tab.com.au.
Comprehensive as always, Trent. We do appreciate that. Trent Lanscale there from tab.com.au. Break now, and then we're back with Ian Baker Finch.
Get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV from Samsung, LG, Sony or Hisense. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with a 4K UHD TV. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen.
Lano, did you count them?
The tech guys did, Mum, and they call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition. Get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley. For a limited time only.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Here's a good one, Jim, from John from Moorbank. Good morning, John. Jimmy and Ray would love to have the skills, longevity and lifestyle of one Kelly Slater.
That's not a bad one, is it?
I like that.
All of those things.
But you'd do a lot of travelling, wouldn't you, in that job? And he's done it for 20 years. 2 decades he's been at the top, which is phenomenal to maintain that level of consistency in such a demanding sport. But you're travelling around the world all the time. It'd get you down after a while, wouldn't it?
Well, the other thing is this, you know, if you're a brain surgeon or if you're a rugby league player, and I know that's not often mentioned in the same word, but, they say, we like to go and do a surf to get away from it. Mm. What does a surfer do to get away from surfing?
Play golf, maybe?
Well, actually, he loves his golf, Kelly Slater.
He does.
But you know what I mean? Like that, I suppose if you're at that elite level, it's not necessarily a relaxing pursuit, but it doesn't tend to throw up the stresses of other sports.
Oh, not quite sure to make of this contribution to our talk topic, Jimmy. Graham's Gooch. Not quite sure. He started his test career.
Funnily enough, no name on that one.
Yeah, in terrible style. He got a pair.
Yeah, he did.
And went on to be one of England's great opening bats and scored. What's his top score? 3-3-3.
He scored the most runs ever in one test match.
In one test. 3-3-3 and 123.
Very good, Raymond.
That was top man,
India.
I think it was. It was on the subcontinent.
It was at Lords.
Oh, was it in England, was it?
It was at Lords. Yeah, he got his name on the board twice in the one match.
Yeah, how about that?
That's not a bad effort, is it? 1353-53, the open line number. We're just about to make contact with Ian Baker Finch. In fact, we have got him today. Of course, a very busy day coming up for he and, of course, everyone at Channel 7. They've got the final round of the Australian PGA, and you can watch it on Channel 7 or the Plus 7 app from midday today. It is delicately poised, and there's some big guns there, including Adam Scott. But for us this morning, all eyes are on the 1991 Open champion, Ian Baker Finch, and he's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Ian.
G'day. How are you, fellas?
Good morning, Ian.
We're
really well, and great to have you on the program. You're our legend of the game for today, and it's going to be our pleasure to have a look back and talk about your career. We like to ask this of most of the people who come on in this program, is, how did golf become a part of your life, Ian? Was it a family thing? Was it something you picked up individually? How did it become such a big part of your life?
Long story as short as possible. My dad and a lot of other farmers in the area up on the Sunshine Coast got interested in golf, mainly because of Arnold Palmer and the Big Three.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to have to drive about 15 miles from home to a little country course called Woodford, out in the hinterland, and he and a few other members of the RSL club in our area in Biwa got a land grant from the forestry department, and we all built our own course.
Wow.
And that was back in the 60s. I was just a young boy. I'd jump on the back of the tractor with Dad and go down and, you know, play on the bulldozers and all that sort of stuff, which is probably why I've got a great passion now for course design from where it all started. But I started caddying for him, and from the age of 10, started to play a bit myself and got my first set of clubs at 12 and left school at 15 to be a pro.
Wow.
Ian, was there any other sport in your childhood, or was it primarily golf, and was that that's what sort of eventually drove you into turning professional?
I think I got better at golf and I loved the individuality of it, but I was pretty good for my age anyway, you know, I was just young. Cricket, tennis, soccer, played them all.
Everything, yep.
Yeah, like all, Queensland kids, you know, it's not really seasonal so much as, what your buddies
you
are doing, what's available. I was a country boy.
Mm.
Well, I want to know what it is about Queensland. Greg Norman, Wayne Grady, yourself.
All the same area.
Adam Scott now, Jason Day. Do you think the climate lends itself to it? Is there any other factor that we're missing there in why there's so many of the great Australian players have been Queenslanders? And not just great Australian players, but world-class players.
Hard to put your finger on it, really. Mm. But I think all really good players, champion golfers, come from a group of great competition. You know, right now we're seeing a lot of really good young kids coming out of Western Australia, and we have done over the years at various times. And in Melbourne and up here at that time, there was just a whole bunch of really good Queenslanders that gave each other great competition. I know in my era, as you mentioned them all, you know, there was Wayne Grady and Greg Norman and Peter and Jeff Senior, Ozzie Moore,
yeah.
a whole bunch of guys that were who we competed against, and we got good and we had a great love of the game. So I think that's has a lot to do with it. Our golf courses in Queensland typically aren't nowhere near as good as the other states because we have warm climate grasses. Yep. The greens are never as good. So maybe we got good at playing on really well-prepared courses because the courses we had up here weren't so well-prepared, perhaps. This might have something to do with it.
Yeah. Ian, you mentioned your father, I guess, idolised Arnold Palmer as a golfer, but you've credited Jack Nicklaus as being your greatest influence on your golf career. I dare say you couldn't have chosen a greater golfer or even a role model as well.
Yeah, correct. And we've become good friends. We live in the same area in Florida and America.
Oh, wow.
It's been a real a Cinderella story, if you will. Did a lot of design work with him and his company. But, yeah, I think a lot of guys my age, I've just turned 56, born in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people my age, a lot of pros, credited Jack because of his book, Golf My Way.
Yep.
And that was the number one book in the 70s. If you were into golf, you read that. And I used to just have it on the range. I taught myself to play from that book and to just idolize the guy growing up and everything he did and then have the opportunity to play with him through the 80s and 90s. And yeah, it's been a... But the big three were the ones. I think all the international stars have credited Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player because they were, as golf became popular, they were the ones that were travelling the world and bringing it to all of us when we were young.
Well, you were treading in their footsteps. PGA, Australasian PGA success, and then European Tour success, and then PGA success, major success in 1991. Let's go back to Royal Birkdale. You finish on the weekend with 64 and 66 and a two-shot victory. Was there a point? I'll play you this little bit of audio. I think it's on the 16th, and it's after you hit the four iron.
That one, Petey? Love it. You like that one, Bo? Love it. Gave me a really good feeling.
Do you like that one, Petey?
Yes, I remember that well.
Yeah. Did you know then that you had that tournament won?
Yeah, pretty much. I was in control. I was playing great. All I had to do was hit every green and two putt. And then the last, when I had a three-shot lead on the last, I played safe. I hit it straight down the left side into the rough, laid up, chipped it on, two-putted to win by two. I wasn't going anywhere near any lips of bunkers or out of bounds down the right or anything. So, yeah, it was, I was just playing so well at that time. You know, I had a couple of years where I really played as well as anybody in 90 and 91. And I was in control of my game and it was my turn. I'd had a couple of other chances to win the Open and hadn't, so it was a great thrill, obviously, in my long-time goal.
Ian, you closed that Royal Birkdale tournament with a 64 and a 66, and on some of the legends we've had on various sports on this segment over the year, we've spoken to them about being in the zone, so to speak, and you mentioned that 1990-91 period when you played your very, very best golf. Does it become almost automatic, even under tournament pressure, that you can just go out and get the job done?
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win because someone else might do it better than you, and there's a lot of variables in golf, as you know, with the conditions, etc. And it's not a science when you get on the greens. You know, sometimes they don't go in and you might have hit the best part of your life.
Yep.
So you can't really control it too much. But, yes, I was in a place where no matter what the pressure, I could still just go do it. I had a great routine and I was very positive. I never really had the burning desire like a Jason Day does now or that Greg Norman had to be number one.
Right.
I really was doing it for a living and to win when I played well and to do the best I possibly could at everything I did. So I was happy. I was never grumpy if I played my best golf and finished third and someone else beat me. You know, it wasn't the end of the world.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't that driven, so to speak, to be the best ever or the best in the world. But when I was on, I could beat the best in the world.
When you'd won that major tournament, did you have an understanding at the time? Were you aware of the history of the game and the history of that tournament about what you had achieved?
Oh, yeah. I'm into it. Totally. Right. Have been all my life.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And And I think it was your wife was there with your eldest daughter, mm-hmm. and to be able to share that victory. And must be, as you say, if you're aware of the history, then it's just dreams come true.
Yeah, totally, definitely. When you win a major in golf, it's the pinnacle. And I think the Open Championship, everyone will have a different answer to that, but most international players will say the Open is their number one. Maybe Masters would be second, but some will say Masters. I think for the Aussies, for Adam Scott, might have been the Masters because no Aussie had won it, so it might have meant more to him than winning any other one. But any major means a lot to you. That's the pinnacle of the sport. You're the number one that week.
Yeah, and then things went awry. Mm. And it didn't happen immediately, Ian, but it happened over a period of time. And then for whatever reason, golf became really difficult for you. Do you look back on that period now and understand why that your game fell away?
Yeah, I wished I'd been able to put a 50-year-old head on a 30-year-old shoulder. So yeah. I wouldn't have gone through what I did.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of disappointed that no one could put their finger on it and really drive it home to me what it was that was causing the issues. I just chased my tail for a couple of years in 95 and 96. I was okay until then. And then in 94, I started trying to change my swing to hit it further.
Yeah.
The golf balls and golf clubs were changing in that era. We were going to graphite shafts and metal heads and plastic-covered balls rather than ballatas. And everything was a real change in the game, and I was trying to be the best I could be, so I was changing things every month, and that led to the lack of confidence.
Yeah.
Then I chased my tail with 10 different coaches over the next 2 years to try and fix what I was doing, but really it was a mental issue. It was really just a confidence mental issue that I should have gone away and fixed and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it now. It's not the end of the world. I've had another good career with the broadcasting and some golf course design work and all of the work I do around the world in golf. So it's still a happy ending.
Yep.
Yes, I would have loved to have won more majors or more tournaments or stayed in the game longer, but I can't really complain with where my life's been led.
Is that the second best job in the world apart from being a professional golfer? Get the opportunity to do what you do with CBS and now today when you do the coverage for Channel 7, everyone who loves their golf admires your insight into the game and your commentary. So is that the second best job for Ian Baker Finch?
Yeah, I would say so. I joke with some of the guys that are getting a little bit long in the tooth, sort of nearing the end of their career. And I just say to them all the time, just practice as hard as you can. You don't want to come into the booth and be playing. But yeah. I think all of the guys that are struggling or the getting towards the end of their careers would envy my position.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, if you can stay in the game, I stay close. I try and play golf with as many of them as I can. The youngsters coming through, I'm always trying to at least get to know them. And if they're in my area, we go play. So I get to see what they're doing and I can maybe instill a little bit of old head on young shoulders and in a bit of mentoring occasionally. But, I'm in a great position. Great life.
We put the tweet out to listeners and, actually to my brother-in-law, who's an American who absolutely loves golf and loves your commentary. And I said, we've got Ian Baker Finch on tomorrow. What do you want me to ask him? And he said, okay, two questions. Tiger Woods, who finished with a 2 under par, despite the double bogey on the last today, he's 10th in his tournament over there. Is he the greatest of all time? And how many majors does Dustin Johnson win?
Okay, Tiger was the greatest of all time for a decade.
Yep.
He, for that decade when he was on top,
phenomenal.
So dominant, won 30% of the time, was the best ever at that time. But if you have to really look at longevity at the moment, and Tiger could maybe add to his collection if he can come back fit and healthy, but Jack Nicklaus would be the greatest of all time.
Yeah, right. And Dustin?
And Dustin Johnson. Let's say a handful.
Handful. There you go.
He's good enough to win another 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah,
he's
okay.
Extremely capable. And most people, 5 majors, not many people have won 5.
Exactly.
I think if you win 5 or 6, you're in that great category. Like Phil Mickelson's won 5.
In the elite,
he's great.
Mm. Hey, and what about today? Royal Pines, of course, so well. Andrew Dott leads at 14 under, but There's some really good golfers hot on his tail. Adam Scott's just four off the pace at 10 under and equal fourth with John Senden. Ashley Hall's had a great summer. Who wins the PGA today, Ian?
I would love to say, in all honesty, that one of the young guys could do it, or one of the guys like Andrew Doat, Ashley Hall, that hasn't done it before. But I've got to put my money on Adam Scott because he has done it before and he's playing beautifully. If he can get the speed right on the greens and make a few more putts, I think he's the guy. And the other guys are all looking to Adam. They're thinking, okay, if I can just beat Adam, you know, it's all about that. In my opinion, I may be wrong, but that is typically what happens. The big event, the best player finds a way. And a perfect example of it is how Ash Hall made birdie to get into the playoff at the Australian Open. Cam Smith bogeyed the last because the pressure was great. He had a chance to win it outright, but Jordan Spieth held four great putts in a row on the last four greens, and he wins the playoff.
And drained the playoff putt too.
The great ones just seem to find a way, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Well, Timmy Cahill scores the goal in the FFA Cup final.
On Wednesday night,
That's what happened.
Exactly.
I was watching a lot yesterday. John Senden, he seemed to do it.
He's perennially
so
around about,
quietly.
Isn't he? He's always thereabouts. Yeah.
He's a threat too, obviously.
Yeah, he's so strong, isn't he, and so capable. And when he's making putts, he's capable of being one of the best as well, and has won on the PGA Tour before, as has Rod Pampling and a lot of the guys in the field. But it's that blend of getting the putts in at the right time and being able to fight through. And but Andrew Doat, I tell you what, he's been very impressive.
Well.
Very impressive. No, very doesn't solid. Waste any shots.
Yeah, very solid, isn't he? Ian, look, I know you've got so many commitments. We really appreciate you coming on. But just one final question. Can we ask about the future of the sport in Australia? You've been down here for a few weeks now covering the Australian summer of golf. And Jason Day, we tend to forget he's still 29 years of age. He's done so much for this sport as a young age. There's so much to look forward to. And a group of young players coming through behind him as well. The future of Australian golf, Ian?
Yeah, very, very strong. A lot of really world-class, talented amateurs coming through into the pro ranks. A couple of them will turn pro in 17 in Brett Coletta and Curtis Luck.
Both
world-class.
Done well this summer, haven't they?
So we have the PGA programs, the Golf Australia programs, our junior coaching programs, are second to none. Other countries are looking in at what we do with our junior programs and our training and our coaching and our awareness in the sport. And that's really showing in the quality of players and the depth of our professional game. They play all over the world. The Aussies were so used to traveling all over the world. We have to get out of here because money's greater elsewhere. So people look at, hey, we've only got three big high-profile events, but we've got 20 others. We call them Tier 2 events. There might be, you know, 400,000 or less. The trouble we have is that the dollar is so strong, the tournament value is so strong in Europe and Asia and the US. You know, they're playing for $8 million a week in the US. So it's hard to get that side of things equal down here, but our golf courses are great and the quality of our fields are great and our standard of players is second to none, in my opinion. So golf's in a good place. We've got a lot of great youngsters coming through, and women, by the way.
Good point.
Well, a lot of people will be looking in this afternoon, Channel 7 broadcasting
Can't
the final round of
Jimmy.
The Australian
Can't
PGA
wait.
Championship at Royal Pines Resort on the Gold Coast. Ian Baker-Finch, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you as our legend of the game today. We do appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate you thinking of me that way. Much, much appreciated for having me on.
We'll look forward to this afternoon's coverage, Ian, and thanks so much for your time.
Cheers, boys. Anytime.
IBF there, IBF. Channel 7 golf commentator. Of course, it's on this afternoon from midday. You can watch it on Channel 7. If you're out and about and you want to see it on the phone, download the Plus 7 app. Download the Plus 7 app.
And watch
he
it
said,
anywhere.
Adam Scott, a $4 chance at tab.com.au. The favourite is Andrew Dodd at $3. Harold Varner, the third, is at $4 as well. Ashley Hall at $6 and John Senden at $10.
As Adam said, Ian said, the great players like Adam Scott find a way to win. But Andrew Dodd said last night he feels very comfortable with his game. Jimmy's comfortable in the wins and he's been very solid over three rounds. He might be hard to catch.
It's all comfortable until you get up that final nine and the world-class players chasing you. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
Here at Sky Sports Radio, we know what punters expect.
The best experts.
Late mail.
Interviews with trainers and jockeys.
Tips and the all-important Tab Market Movers.
Tab Market Mover here for you at Rosehill. Hogmanay here for Chris Waller, number 11. It's 850 into 550, number 11.
Hogmanay's clear. Jimmy Innes has pulled off the perfect ride. Hogmanay leads all the way from unbiased.
Tab Market Movers for thoroughbred, harness and greys have proven invaluable to our listeners. Stay with the punters, pal.
Sky Sports Radio.
On the line is Stuart, who found love earlier than expected.
That's right. Yeah, it was just after the third leg of the quaddy.
Go on.
Well, I was 3 from 3 and even had a roughie in there, but the last leg had me nervous, the quaddy killer. So I went for Tab's quaddy cash out and still came out in front.
That'll settle the nerves. If you love an early collect, cash out of your quaddy with Tab's quaddy cash out.
Tab, we love a bet.
Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The man shave helped my dad lose weight and feel better. Now dad takes me to the park and we play footy.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
England defeated Australia 37-21 at Twickenham overnight in the last test match of their spring tour. The Poms scored 4 tries to 2, taking their wins for the calendar year to 14, 13 of those under coach Eddie Jones. In contrast, for the year, the Wallabies lost 9. Western Sydney has broken its 6-game winless streak by finally snaring 3 points in the A-League match against the Central Coast last night. Scoring a double in both halves, the Wanderers beat the Mariners 4-1. Meantime, in a very tense and heated match in Melbourne, Melbourne City and Brisbane came away with a 1-1 draw. Today, Newcastle hosts Sydney at 5 o'clock and Adelaide and Wellington play at 7. Queenslander Andrew Dott has a 2-shot lead heading into the final round today of the Australian PGA on the Gold Coast. Ashley Hall and American Harold Varner III are in a tie for second at 12 under. Adam Scott and John Senden minus 10, and Kiwi Ryan Fox is outright 6 at minus 7. Play is underway with the final group of Dott, Hall and Fox to tee off at 11 o'clock Queensland time. Qualifying for the final race of the 2016 supercar season gets underway this morning in Sydney at 11 o'clock with the top 10 shootout at 1:05 and the race at 3:40. Shane Van Gisbergen wrapped up the championship yesterday with a podium finish, the first Kiwi to do so in 25 years. Last night in the NBL, Cairns held off Brisbane 89-84 in the Queensland Derby. Taipans coach Aaron Fearn commended his side on the way they handled the pressure, especially during the Bullets' fourth quarter fight back. Adelaide also survived a late game scare, defeating Perth 92-86 in an overtime classic. Today, Melbourne play New Zealand and the Kings will next play Illawarra. That's tomorrow night down at Wynn. Stratum Star nudged out local horse Scales of Justice to take out the Group 1 Kingston Town Classic last night at Ascot in Perth. The Darren Weir trained horse won the race in the final stride. It was Weir's 17th Group 1, first outside Melbourne and Adelaide, and to celebrate, he put $5,000 on the bar. In the English Premier League, Chelsea had a 3-1 away win over Manchester City, notching up an 8th successive win and cementing its place on top of the EPL table. In other results, Crystal Palace 3, Southampton 0, Stoke 2, Burnley 0, Sunderland 2, Leicester 1, Tottenham 5, Swansea 0, West Brom 3-1 over Watford, West Ham 1, Arsenal 5. And back to golf, checking the leaderboard. Third round of the PGA tournament in New Providence this morning. Hideki Matsuyama is in the lead at 19 under. Dustin Johnson at 14 under. Henrik Stenson outright third at minus 12. Matt Kuchar, Brant Snedeker at minus 11. And Tiger Woods is in outright 10th spot. He's at 8 under after a 2 under 70 today, which included, unfortunately, boys, a double bogey on the 18th. Mm. That was a bit of a bummer. Now, the golf world is, for want of another word, captivated at the moment, leading to TV ratings and plenty of social media buzz in regard to Tiger's first time in competitive golf for 15 months. It's that's no surprise, I would imagine. his manager quite happy at the moment. That would be a great job, wouldn't it, be Tiger Woods' manager?
Well, he had a tough little tricky period.
He did,
life.
Yeah. he's never been able to pay the electricity bill.
True.
But he said that his phone was pretty heated leading up to the week and up to the first round. After the first two rounds, it's gone from heated to hot, and that means potential endorsement deals on the way for Tiger, overtures from various tournaments around the world. He's got plenty of choices. There are a lot of lucrative offers out there for appearance fees on the European tour. But what he'll actually do is not yet known, because whether he can physically handle consecutive tournaments week in, week out is a big decision. Probably not at this stage.
Tell you what, the game of golf is better with Tiger Woods
I totally agree.
Morning, we're all been glued to almost every shot he's played today, and that'll be...
Well, apparently there were other players there with Tiger today, but I wasn't sure who they were.
Dickie Matsuyama lit up the course today. Didn't know.
No.
He's 7-under today. He's 19-under for the tournament.
It will fade a little bit, but, you know, it is good to have him back. To have him back and to have him well and to have him playing
That charisma that Greg Norman had at his height.
He definitely does.
I was going to say, it's Michael Jordan coming back to the Bulls. Let's see whether he wins the three titles.
He won't.
But
in regard to the possibility of a sponsorship deals, one is apparently going to be announced in the next few weeks, possibly a ball deal with Bridgestone Golf, because now that Nike, after they announced that they're not making clubs or balls anymore, that opens up a whole new world for Tiger. And his... and his managers, et cetera. TaylorMade Woods apparently is the new
there you go. The rich get richer.
Sponsor, perhaps.
It's been at all.
Yeah. And the Hero World Challenge, which is the name of this tournament, announced that the first round ratings on the Golf Channel were the highest in the 18-year history of the event.
That says it all.
That says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah. Tiger's back.
Isn't there a casino in Vegas that could do something with Tiger?
Probably, yeah. Well, as Tanya said, they're all lining up now.
Appearances for him a couple of times of the year.
They're all lining up.
I'm sure he'd be open.
Be right up his alley, wouldn't it?
Don't go there, Tiger, please.
Don't go back.
Thank you, Tan. Appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the program, and after the break, we'll be back with more.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy an air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, LG and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card. Up to $300 depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
When you're held up in traffic and the nerves are strung up, imagine time out to relax with a glass of Sacred Hill wine. Try Sacred Hill Tramadol Riesling by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
Save up to 50% off at Oz Design Furniture's Christmas sale on all furniture and homewares. Must end soon. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au for store locations or shop online. We're seeing heavy inbound traffic on the M5 this morning after an earlier breakdown at the end of the main tunnel, and it's bumper to bumper on Marsh Street into the International Terminal. And Collaroy, a burst water main has a southbound lane closed on Pittwater Road at Brissenden Avenue, and in Badgerys Creek, they've closed Badgerys Creek Road both ways between the Northern Road and Elizabeth Drive after an overnight crash. And Eastern Creek, we're expecting a whole lot of extra traffic on the approaches to Sydney Motorsport Park today with the final day of Motor World. Save up to 50% off at Oz Design Furniture's Christmas sale on all furniture and homewares. Must end soon. Visit ozdesignfurniture.com.au for store locations or shop online. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
USG Boral is a building materials manufacturer that offers more than just ceilings and plasterboard. We deliver innovations designed to help you build better. From creating the very first plasterboard to developing the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia with sag-defying strength, our legacy dates back more than a century. And with every project you do, USG Boral will be there with the products and advice you need. Proud supporter of a job well done. Learn more at usgboral.com.
Hi, Lisa Wilkinson here. You can depend on the 2017 Australian Women's Health Diary 365 days a year. Others depend on it for a lifetime. That's because funds from every diary sold go to life-saving breast cancer research trials. That's a win-win in my book. So buy one for yourself or for a gift today. Just $16.95 from newsagents, Commonwealth Bank branches, Woolworths, Avon and online at bcia.org.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Jimmy, I think Scotty Foss is online. I think he's had a bit of a recovery from his tough weekend last weekend. And is ready to fire with all guns blazing this morning. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning, boys. And yes, I'm back this week. I'm sorry about that.
Timed it with Tiger. Well done, Scotty.
Oh, hang on. He's back. Just liking Scotty Foster to Tiger Woods.
No, both comebacks.
Oh, right. Apparently the ratings are massively up too when you're involved, Scotty, is what they're telling me.
I was going to say, maybe our inquiry did drop last week because you two weren't quite up to the standard.
We mucked it up, did we, Scotty?
Well, Scotty? You're having a giggle at that, aren't you?
He's like, he might be telling the truth, actually.
Yeah, I know. That. Just keep it on the down low, Scotty. 2008 Nissan Navara, mate. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, it's a beautiful car, Jimmy. This is the D40 STX 4x4 King Cab. It's powered by the 2.5-litre turbo diesel engine and a 5-speed automatic transmission. The King Cab, it's a 4-seater and has a longer tray than a dual cab, so it's very popular with the tradies and the people that need that extra tray space. This one is fitted with front and rear ladder racks. It's got roof racks, nudge bar, tray toolboxes, got a tow bar, side steps, alloy wheels, storage under the tray, so it's set up for everything. And, of course, it has air conditioning, power steering, power windows, ABS brakes, dual airbags, and cruise control for all your driving comfort needs. This one's grey in colour, it's a river truck, and it's on sale for just $18,990 drive away. So go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au. Take a look at that truck because it is a good one.
And Scotty, the word is you've got some great new finance packages available at the moment.
Yep, we've got some really good packages available for everyone. So even if you've had trouble with finance in the past, we can now help you get into a car. So if you've got paid or unpaid defaults, you're on a pension, new to Australia, or on a student visa, we can help. If you're on sickness benefits and you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then we can help. So go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au or call 963 750 24, because the boys will be able to help you today.
And I believe you wanted to send out a little cheerio, mate.
Yeah, just a quick hello to Rob Burton. He's a long-time listener, boys. Loves the program. And gave me a little reminder during the week when he bought a car that my performance last week was a little bit lackluster.
Well done, Rob. We might send Rob out a prize, actually, for that.
Yeah, you should. He's a great bloke.
All right, sounds good. Good on you, mate. Check out this car and everything else. Oh, sorry, more?
Yeah, I just wanted to let the Robinson family know that everyone at Steve Foster and Sons is thinking about them, and just want to send our thoughts and best wishes to everyone involved there, because we do know them personally, and it's a shocking story, and we hope it works out the best it can.
Did Chad play at Winnie?
I don't think he played at Winnie. I played with his older brother, and I think Chad went straight through the reps. So I know the younger one played a bit at Greystanes, but I have a feeling Chad was at Hills.
Yeah,
for some reason.
So for those people who don't know the story, former Rooster, Parramatta player Chad Robinson was last seen last Saturday.
Kellyville.
Father of three, and I don't think there's been an update. I was reading something yesterday about that. So, yeah, well said. Scotty, it's a really sad situation. Hopefully there's a positive resolution to it. Good on you, mate. We appreciate that this morning.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Scotty.
Scotty Foster there from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Check them out online, fosterscualitycars.com.au. And remember, if they haven't got the car that you want, Ray, they source it for you.
They'll find it for you.
If you want to give them a call, do that. 9637 5024, 9637 5024. Got to make mention of the Breakers, the New South Wales women's cricket team.
Are they one of
the
great sporting teams for women anywhere?
They have won their 18th Women's National Cricket League title. They've been in all 21 finals and have only lost three of them. And of course, they lost last year to South Australia. They were going for 11 on the trot, remember? Like the St George Dragons. Yeah. They were beaten last year, but they got them all out the fire at Allan Border Field for 119 and then came out, did it comfortably. Elisa Healy, 56 not out, and Alice Blackwell, 36 not out. So got them home comfortably. Quality players there. So 18 titles in 21 years. It's not a bad effort. Again, congratulations to Shane van Gisbergen, who, of course, is now the champ. Who's that? Is the second Kiwi to do it?
After Jim Richards in 91.
Jim Richards, okay. So Jim Richards is being inducted into the Supercar Hall of Fame. He's been doing that, or the Australian Motorsport Hall of Fame, with Mark Scaife. But Van Gisbergen has won after the Jamie Wincup won the race yesterday. Van Gisbergen was third, but that was enough for him to clinch the title.
And the last Sydney 500 at Homebush too, Jim.
Yes, before it goes to...
I'm not sure. Why is it moving away from Homebush? Just the cost of...
Yeah, it's going to Newcastle. Yeah. There was talk about Gosford getting it, but it missed out on it.
Is it just the cost of holding it there in Homebush?
I think...
It's a spectacular course.
Yeah, I think there was more to it than that.
Okay.
I'm not sure that there was satisfaction with the street circuit as it was, that maybe it didn't offer enough from a driver point of view, and therefore from a competition point of view. But... so congratulations to Shane van Gisbergen. Nico Rosberg retired after winning the title, which is significant in itself. The Wallabies have gone down to England overnight, 37 points to 21. And Glenn Maxwell may or may not play for Australia today, Raymond. If you were Darren Lehman, who's a selector, and Steve Smith, who's actually come out and said, yeah, we had a chat to him, respect is one of our key pillars, and as a result we fined him. Do you pick Glenn Maxwell for the game of cricket today?
I would. Such a prodigious talent, particularly in the one-day format. He can win you the game with bat or ball, him.
And his fielding. In the field.
And his fielding is unbelievable. I'd pick him. Absolutely.
And that's the thing is, I think what he said was totally correct.
Yep.
I understand that he probably shouldn't have said it publicly. To be fined? Isn't it a little harsh?
End of the day, they're professional athletes. They would have sorted this out in the dressing room. If he's amongst our best 11, play him alongside Matthew Wade. Back them both to get the job done. Back them both to rise above the criticism and play well today. Glenn Maxwell's the sort of character, Jim, who tends to thrive on that sort of pressure.
Well, here's the question today. Let's say Matthew Wade and Glenn Maxwell play for Australia in the ODI out there at the SCG. Who bats higher?
Well, Maxwell would have to.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Which means the point that he made about the Victorian cricket side was absolutely
correct.
Absolutely correct. And... helps you understand why he wants to come and play for New South Wales. And Andrew Jones, the CEO of Cricket New South Wales, said in an interview yesterday, well, we at New South Wales like to put in place a situation where players can explore the outer limits of their potential. And Glenn Maxwell is a player of unlimited potential. There's money coming for Australia.
They're firmed.
Yeah, they're firmed in from $1.40 into $1.36. So New Zealand out to $3.20. Now, this Lachie Ferguson is a guy to keep an eye out for. He bowls about 150.
He was a guy that Kane Williamson saying was bowling bumpers to him, in his words. And
bumpers?
Yeah, bumpers. And really making him...
jump around a little?
Absolutely. So he's really quick. Mitchell Starc with a white ball, Jim. Love watching him bowl in the one-day format.
Well, Mitchell Starc with a white ball. And you've got to think, Australia last time they played one-day international cricket, they lost 5-0 to South Africa.
Didn't have Mitchell Starc.
No Mitchell Starc.
No
Josh Hazlewood. Patrick Cummins is going to be a chance of playing today
attack,
as well.
It's a decent attack.
If you start looking further ahead in a longer form game, this could be the three...
Ashes next year.
Ashes next year. Mm. And when you think about Nathan Lyon as the spinner, there's New South Wales providing the bowling attack for Australia.
How close is Pat Cummins to return to the longer format of the game?
I don't know. Good question. They don't. You know, it's one of those things, whether you're doing the right thing or not. There they are all... he's been pulled out of grade games at different stages because he bowled 10 overs here, and it's like, I know Jeff Lawson.
We had this discussion last week, Brett Lee as
well.
Get
out there and let him bowl.
The old-fashioned way.
The only way.
The best way to get fit and match fit is to bowl.
The only way to get fit, bowling fit,
not bowling
is to bowl.
10 overs in a one-day match every second, you know, once a week or something.
Were you,
let him bowl.
Did you bowl?
I did when I was young, yeah.
Right. There's no other exercise like it.
No.
It's so strange, running in and getting sideways and crunching through the torso and all. Like, you can understand why there's injuries, but
it's
you can then understand why you can't get fit doing anything else but bowling.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've seen some some of my friends used to play the game. It wouldn't exactly be the world's most magnificent-looking athletes, but they could bowl 25 overs in searing heat at decent pace.
Right.
Because they were used to bowling, Jim.
Bowling
and
fit.
And they bowled all the time.
Yeah, bowling fit, absolutely. John Grant, will he survive? Will they get back to the negotiating table? We keep hearing different stories about that.
Are your odds shorter than Australia in this one day?
Well, the problem with this now for John Grant is that despite the fact that, yes, there's a lot of money going out and they may not have the money to pay the clubs as they had promised previously, they won't negotiate without the removal of John Grant.
So he almost has to go. Do the right thing by the game.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Hey, Jimmy, let's get serious. Some big sport on today. I'll be channel surfing from the golf, the one dayer and the Sydney FC game.
Where will you heavily be?
Probably the one day.
Yeah,
but I'll be looking a lot at the golf particularly. Adam Scott, he's the man to beat, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go John Senden in that one. John Senden.
He's always there about. He
doesn't
win often, does he?
He is. John so Senden? there's yeah. my tip on that one. I'm going to tip Australia. And here's another bet I've got going for you. David Warner, of course, is going to be the man of the match at $8. You heard it here first, Raymond.
Who wins our Sports Year Diary today for best caller?
Anthony.
On the golf course.
On the golf course.
Fair
he
enough.
Got a little risque with what he was saying.
Commitment
Tiger Woods.
To the cause, listening to the program whilst out having a hit.
Yeah, and so we certainly appreciate that. So the Sports Year Diary is coming the way of Anthony. Yeah, we